If you have your Bible, you'll find the reading this morning in Joshua chapter number 17. And we'll begin reading verse number 12. Joshua 17, verse number 12. When finding your place, if you would stand this morning in the reverence of reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 17, verse number 12. Say amen if you're there. The Bible says, "Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxed strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion of inheritance, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up in the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. But they who are of Bethshan and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power, and thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." That's the reading of Joshua chapter 17, verses 12 through 18, if correctly read. Our Father, Lord, I thank Thee today. God, You've allowed us, Lord, to come boldly into the throne of grace. Lord, I ask God that You'd touch us, Father, today as we preach. I pray, Father, You'd anoint a hearing today. I pray, God, that You'd give understanding, Father, today. And I ask, Lord, that You'd be with these that stand by. God, would You give them, Father, the understanding, Lord, that I have. Lord, that You've gave to me. I pray, Father, today, if they be some that's here and lost, I pray, God, that You'd save them. Father, for time runs eternally everlasting too late. And God, You know the situation, Father, and the current stance, Father, of our congregation. You know, God, where they stand. And I pray, Father, You'd help them. I pray, God, You'd lift them up, Father. And I ask, God, that You'd move in a great and mighty way, Father. And You've already done that for us this morning. Father, I thank You for coming up and showing up today. And I thank You, Father, for what You've done thus far. God, a little more, I pray. Father, would You illuminate my mind and loose my lips, God, and get me, Father, that Your people stand in need of. And help us, Father, today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I firmly believe this morning, just by understanding from the Holy Ghost and my studies, that there's somebody here, and maybe you've probably, I don't know if you've in the middle of a sloppy condition, or maybe, should I get turned on? You got me? Or maybe you're fixing to go into sloppy condition. But I want to preach on this thought this morning. Being strong in sloppy conditions. Amen. Being strong in sloppy conditions. We see, first of all, I want to look at the sadness of the situation of the people and the children of Manasseh. In verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "And yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out." You say, "Well, preacher, who's the inhabitants?" Well, if we look a little further back here in chapter 17, we'll begin reading in about verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmethah, that lieth before the Shechem,
and the border went along on the right hand of the inhabitants of Ethiopia. And now Manasseh had the land of Taputhah, but Taputhah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim. And the coast descended unto the river Cana, southward of the river. Those cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh also was on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh. And the sea is the border, and they met together in Asher on the north, and in Issachar on the east, and Manasseh, and the Issachar, and the Asher, Bethshan and her towns, and Ibleam and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Tachnaok and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, and even three countries. So we see here all these inhabitants, and the Bible says that yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants. So we see, not only there, we see in verse number 12, the Bible says in verse 13, that the children of Israel waxed strong. That word means to strengthen or to be hardened. So we see here that Manasseh, in such a literate situation as relating to us today, Manasseh and Ephraim, which is the children of Joseph, say they come and they are weak. They can't move the situation that they're in. They can't move the circumstances that lies in front of them. They can't move the inhabitants of the people that lays in this land that they've come to, that they are to try to get out of the way, that they are to try to move to get them going in the right direction. And it says here that they're strong. But yet God called a people out of Israel, a people that God brought out of Egypt, a people that God brought through the wilderness, and He's going to move them. But if you'll pay attention, here in the latter parts of verse number 13, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute." That tribute means to pay taxes. They've pretty much made them slaves. So Israel's come in, they've showed up, said they've made the Canaanites slaves, they've made them to pay tribute, they've made them to drop taxes, and maybe that's where you're at today, bless God. You've got something in your life, whether it be sin, whether it be a hiccup, whether it be a holdback, a stumbling block, a ditch, a gully, a waterway, bless God, that the rivers of God, run through your life, and now you've done something, and God's withdrawn Himself, because the Holy Spirit is a finicky somebody, and if you ain't living just right where you ought to be, He will remove Himself from you and let you struggle on your own just a little bit. And there's some of you, bless God, fixing to go through a sloppy condition, and you slipping and you sliding and you've carrying on, and you really don't know what to do, and you can't remove the things because you're not being strong in this situation we're fixed to endeavor into. So we see, first of all, we see here the sadness of their situation. And not only that, we see, second of all, we see the sourness of their salutation in verse 14 through 16. The Bible says, "And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion of inheritance, seeing I am a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto..." Let me just stop right there. That's so us. That's us. That's Bethel today. You think about it now. The children of Joseph and Joshua said, he said, bless God, he said, "And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion, Joshua? Why do I just got the one little lot of land? Why do I just got the one little plot of land? Why do I got just one little plot? You know I'm of great value. You know I'm of great descent. You know I'm of great worthy here." That's so us. Is it not? That's so us. God has been so good to you, day in and day out and day in and day out. And here we are, and God removes Himself because you've hicked up, because you've slipped up, because you've backed off on your prayer life, you've backed off on your seriousness to prayer, you've backed off on your faithfulness to God, and now the Lord has removed His Holy Spirit. You ain't really feeling it like you used to. You kind of sit here somewhat dry, somewhat stagnant, somewhat stale, and you say, "Oh God, people's crying, people's carrying on, this thing's just so good, and I'm sitting here stale and stagnant." And us of most time, "Oh God, why have you given me just this little portion? Or why have you given me just this small tract of land? God, am I not saved? God, did you not save me on August 8th of 2010? You saved me on that Sunday evening. God, am I not much of great value? That's where we're at. That's where they're at. Joshua said, he said, bless God. And they came and they said, oh, Joshua, they're being sour. They're being sour. I see three things about their sourness here. Not only, they're being sour as a whole, as much of us do, but the first sourness I see is they've become unlovely. They've become unlovely to those around them. They said, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion of inheritance? I just want to be sour. Oh, Lord, I was so good. And Lord, I showed up every service. And Lord, COVID come along. And Lord, I got scared. And Lord, I laid out. And now, Lord, you've just given me just a little bit. And I'm mad. You've become sour. You've become sour to an almighty God. You've become sour to a God that's blessed you beyond measure, day in and day out. And say, oh, preacher, but there's another variant coming. There's another strand. And I'm just going to continue to stay at home. Why? Why? That's going to cause you to be more sour. The Lord's going to allow you to go through a sloppy situation and a sloppy condition. And here you are, you can't be strong because you're sour. You're like a warhead. You're, oh, and then the Lord bless you. Ooh, let me rub on you, love on you. I'm so sweet. Ooh. That's a Christian and a rapper.
Amen.
But I'm honestly afraid that somebody's fixed to go through a sloppy condition. And you ain't going to be able to weather this condition because you ain't being strong. Say, why is that? Because you're sour. You've become unlovely. Do you know somebody? Man, I've been around a lot of people. And I tell you what, man, when my wife comes sour, oh God, she is so unlovely to be around. She's just so unlovely to be around. She gets sour sometimes. I get sour sometimes. The preacher gets sour sometimes. Your pastor gets sour sometimes. It's our nature. It's the flesh. The devil, for instance, from about right here, all the way about to over there, the Lord just saved 13 precious, fresh young souls.
Amen.
What's the devil do? That didn't really happen. Rem, I know Jews are preaching, and you might have been preaching good. That's what the devil said. But there's one or two that just probably didn't get it. If I ain't careful, that would cause me to be sour. Lord, you saved one or two, but God, am I not worthy enough that you could have got one or two more? Or am I not so great that you could have worked up another miracle that's such a great? And I become sour. And when I become sour, I become unlovely to all those in the congregation. And that's what causes emptiness in church pews. Because we have sour Christians. And then sour Christians make other Christians say, oh, God, I can't stand to be around that one. I believe I'll go find another church. And here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spots. Seven more spots. There's 3 more spots beside Brother Maycomber. There's 3 more spots beside Brother Gary Moore. There's 3 more spots over here behind Mrs. Connie. There's been 4 more spots back here on the back row. So where are they at? Hey, some of us Christians become sour.
Amen.
Not only do I see the sourness of their salutation, and they see they're unlovely, I see they're unpleasing. We see in verse 15, it says here, and Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself here in the land, there in the land of the Pezletites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. These people are unpleasing to be satisfied. Not only when you become sour, you become unlovely to be around. You become hard to please. You're unpleasable. I know there's some Christians. It's right in the mouth. But it's the truth. There's some Christians, you can't please them, save Adam.
Amen. I mean, the pastor could bend over backward. The pastor could do backflips and handstands and cartwheels and run from one end of the church to the other end of the church. And there's some people that just won't be pleased. But I'm afraid, I'm so afraid, there might be one or two of you that's fixing to go through a sloppy situation. And you've become unlovely. And you've become unpleasable. And not only have you become unlovely, and you've become unpleasable, and you think, oh, this and that. But you've become unsavory to God. We see thirdly, the sourness of the salutation. The third thing I see is an unsavory people to the Lord God. In verse 16, the Bible says, and the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both they who are of Bethshan, and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. This word Bethshan, the word Beth means house. And the word Shan means ease. So these Canaanites are from a house of ease. So what they have chariots of iron? So what they be of great inhabitants that can't be moved? And they've been hanging around and hanging around. It's time to get the Canaanites out of your life, church. It's time to get to the situation where we become unsoured. Where we become lovely people to be around. Where we become pleasant pleasers. Where God, I mean God, if God got within 100 square miles of this place, we would be tearing a building down just because He got near. Just because He got near. And then when the Lord gives us sloppy situations and sloppy conditions. I mean, God just blessed us with 70-some young people and 13 got saved. I mean, we're coming off. That's a high, bless God. Because as low as the world is right now, as low as situations are right now, as low as circumstances is right now, and low and dark as everything is, it ain't getting no better, church. And it ain't going to get no better. And I believe the church is fixing to go through some sloppy conditions. It may not be Bethel. It might be our neighbor church down the road. And it might be our neighbor church in that direction. And it very well could be three or four families in Bethel. It might be our whole deacon board here at Bethel. It might be your pastor that's fixing to go through some sloppy conditions. But if we ain't prepared to go through these sloppy conditions, how are we to be a light to those around about us? We are on high right now. The Lord just saved 13. He's fixing to do a new thing here at Bethel. I mean, He's building it up. He's putting puzzle pieces together. He's plugging and playing. He's saving young men. He's letting them sing. He's working on their families. He's getting other young men to show up faithfully. He's bringing other young men in to help here, other young men in to help there. He's been an encouragement to our deacon board, and they're praying now more than ever. He's been encouragement to other church members and working in their lives. He's been encouragement to other young people in their lives. I mean, God's unplugging people from Bethel and plugging people in Bethel. And God's fixing to vamp this baby up. I mean, He's fixing to get us here, get us there. He's putting you here and you there, and He's plugging you there. And you think, well, I'm just going to go visit Bethel maybe just to see what's going on. Next thing you know, you're a faithful member, and the Lord's done got you up and moved you in, and you've joined the church, and He's plugged you in here, and you're working there, and you're meeting people and greeting people and leading people to the Lord here, leading them there and doing here. And bless God, that's a blessing. And the Lord's fixing to do a great thing here in Bethel. But to get to the great things, we've got to go through some sloppy conditions. Amen. And if we ain't strong when the sloppy condition shows up, you know what the devil's going to do? Right on off and down the slip and slide you go. But not only, we see second of all, the sourness of their salutation. We see thirdly, and I'll be done here. We see the simplicity of their stabilization in verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, and Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people, and hast great power, and thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. He said right here, what's the Bible say in verse 18? It said, but the mountain shall be what?
Shall be what?
Thine.
Shall be thine. I don't know where you're at, but I'm telling you, the Lord said, the mountain shall be thine. It shall be thine. You think about here. It says, for it is wood. What did he tell them about the wood back over here in verses number 15? And Joshua answered them, if thou be a people, get thee up into the wood country and cut it down for thyself in the land of the Pezletites and the giants and Mount Ephraim. Be too narrow for thee. Well, he comes back in verse 18. He says, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. You think about that now. Thank you, Lord. The outgoings of it shall be thine. You witnessed that, young lady. You've cut that wood down. Lord saved her. And you're going to see that. You're going to see that, Brother Jerry.
Amen.
You keep witnessing to those around about you. You're going to see it. You just keep cutting that wood down. You just keep doing what you... The Lord's putting the lumber in front of you, church. You just keep a hewing and a hewing and a cutting and a saw. You keep planting seeds and whacking her down. You just plant the seed and the Lord gives you the opportunity to lead them to Christ. Lord God, get them in a bundle and lead them on. And let the Lord put them through the planter. It ain't our place to put them through the planter. It's our place to get them up and the Lord rain sunshine down on them. Lord save them. We give them the Lord. Lord take them up. The Lord will process them, make a perfect piece of lumber out of them. It ain't our place to make perfect lumber out of them. But bless God, we're going to have to go through some sour situations and some sloppy conditions to get there. But I'm telling you what, if you just do what the Lord laid in front of you, and I'm telling you, bless God, I don't know who you are. God, Lord's all over me. I don't know who you are. I don't know what kind of sloppy situation, circumstance you fit. Maybe it might be a bad bill. Maybe it might be a bad case of the somebodies you don't want to deal with, and the Lord's fixing to put them right in your lap. But bless God, you be strong. In this sloppy condition, you be strong in the situation you're dealing with. You be strong in what God lays in front of you. God's going to do a new thing here. And for us to get a new thing, we got to have a little sloppy condition. And I'm afraid somebody's fixing to go through it. The Lord sent me to you today to tell you to be strong. You be strong. Get your head up. Bless God, I'm fired up now. I just come off camp meeting week. I've been listening to Brother Percy Ray. I kick a devil in the mouth, and I know he'd come back and give me more, but as long as I'm here, I'm going to give a devil down the road, because that's my job, is to serve Jesus and make a devil stand up and make him know when I get up. He said, I'm going to give for him a sloppy condition. You know what, devil? Bring it on, because I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what God had me to do. I'm not going to be weak when the sloppy conditions show up, because that ain't what God called me to do.
Amen.
God called us to be strong. God called you to be strong. And God wants you to stand up. God wants you to get a backbone about you. Hey, it ain't getting no easier, church. The Bible didn't say nowhere that it's fixed to be a field of dandelions and tulips before the Lord comes back. God said it's fixed to get dark. God said it's fixed to get weary. God said it's fixed to be nasty. God said it's fixed to be slimy and ooey and gooey. I mean, just like you. I mean, I'll tell you, I can be a gross person sometimes. I get coughed up and choked up. Man, I'll sneeze and not know it, and blow boogers and everything else every which direction. But I'm telling you right now, I mean, it's fixing to be that way. The devil's fixing to blow boogers all over you. And what are you going to do about it? Be strong. Be strong. Be strong.
Yes, sir.
Bethel, be strong.
Amen.
The Lord needs you.
Right.
I need you.
Yes.
Your pastor needs you.
Amen.
Your deacons need you.
Yes.
Oh God, be strong, Bethel. Be strong. Be strong. Oh God, be strong. We need you. It's fixing to get sloppy and we need you. I don't need you to lay down. Bless God to preach a bit. The Lord's going to answer your prayer. The Lord's going to say yes, but you got to be strong. I need you. I need you. The Bible says, thank you, Lord. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, turn with me. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 48. The Bible says, and this is David and Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, say amen when you're there. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 48, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the Philistine rose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." He didn't walk there. He ran there. And I can guarantee you, there's probably dead bodies laying left and right everywhere. I mean, he's in a battlefield. I mean, they've been warned and they've been warned. And I mean, they've been looking for David. And they've been trying to find, you know, the right man to send for the job. And David shows up and says, "I'll go." And it says here, said, and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and that he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a what? With a sling. God didn't give him no big cannon. God didn't give him no big warship. God didn't even give the man a sword. God gave him a sling. He said, "If you'd be faithful with just a little bit," he said, "I'll make thee great and mighty over a lot." He said, David got a sling and said, drew a sling and stone and smote the Philistine, slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the seat thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their campaign was dead, they fled. I need you to be strong. Sometimes the Lord might not give you a sling. And sometimes the situations and the circumstances, it's going to get sloppy. And you might only have just a stone, a small seed to plant in your sloppy condition. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's fixing to be watching us here at Bethel. God's fixing to do great and mighty. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it 100%. God's fixing to do work. We're fixing to get up and get on plane. But somebody's fixing to watch you in a sloppy condition that you're fixing to go through, that you're fixing to face. And I need you to be strong. Maybe you didn't get to be here at Bible school, and that's okay. Don't beat yourself up over it. God give us the workers, and thank God for it. And I thank you for praying if you couldn't be here. And but we're fixing to go through a sloppy condition, and I need you to be strong. I need you to be strong. Seth, you come play. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would stand your feet. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Oh, God, preacher, you're preaching to me." Maybe you're fixing to go through a sloppy condition. I don't know what you're dealing with. Maybe you need to move this morning. And there's a sloppy condition headed your way. And maybe you just want to come up here this morning. Maybe you ain't fixing to go through a sloppy condition. And Lord God, maybe things are just flying high for you. Maybe you need to come thank God for helping you to be strong. But there's somebody here, and I don't know who you are. And bless God, I need you to be strong because you're a little weak right now. I know it. You're a little weak right now. I don't know who you are, but you're weak. And God sent this little country preacher to tell you, bless God, to be strong. Would you be strong? Would you do it for God? Would you do it because God said so? God said, "I need you to be strong." And maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, Lord God, I don't know what you're talking about. But God's dealing with me, and Lord God, I'm lost." Would there be somebody here you're lost? Maybe you need to be saved this morning. Would there be somebody here? Raise your hand. Say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? Preacher, would you pray for me? Maybe I'm lost. I'm lost and I don't know. And maybe the Lord's dealing with me. Maybe I've got something here this morning that, Lord, would you, preacher, would you pray for me?" Would there be somebody here raising a hand? Anybody at all? Father, I thank Thee God, you've allowed us, Father, to come boldly into the throne of grace this morning. God, thank you. God, for showing us in your word, Father, that we need to be strong. God, would you help us, Father, to be strong? God, would you help us, Father, to be strong when we step in a mud hole of slippery conditions and sloppy conditions, Father, when things ain't going our way? Father, when things ain't going the way we prayed they ought to go. Father, we pray in this certain situation, Lord, and we've prayed that we'd be our way, God, but your will would have it see fit otherwise. God, would you help us to be strong? Father, would you help us to stand firm? God, would you help us, Father, to stand, Lord, in the will of God Almighty, that the will of our Father, Lord, would be performed, God, and be done in our life. God, would you help us, Father, to stand strong to a God that went to Calvary and died for us, Lord, and all he asked that we'd do the will of the Father. Lord, help us, Father, to stand strong. Help us, Father, to do that, God, to be pleasing unto a God Almighty. God, help us, Father, Lord, that we'd do that, God, that, Lord, to be pleasing, God, to be a sweet savor and smell unto your nostrils. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Father. Lord, in this church, I pray, Lord, for every person, God, in this altar today. I pray, God, your hand of mercy, Father, would be upon them. God would be all over them. I pray, Father, for your mercy, God, and your hand upon every person in the congregation today. God, would you help them? Father, would you touch them? God, I pray, Father, you'd lift them up and help them, God, this day. Lord, I ask, Father, you'd meet the needs here. God, they's lost, they're sick and afflicted. God, would you help them? God, that's fixing to go through a test and a trial. God, that's fixing to go to the emergency rooms, Father, and the doctor's visits, Lord, and having tests run. God, would you strengthen their backbone? Help them, Father, to be strong. God, that no matter what the outcome, no matter what the circumstance and the situation, Father, no matter what, God, would be the problem nor the issue, God, help them, God, to be strong. And help them, God, no matter what news comes their way, God, and be strong. Father, because there's somebody watching and somebody, God, and they'd be led to the Lord out of it. God, it'd be worth it all. Father, it'd be worth it all. Help us, Father, today. Touch us, God, I pray. Help our pastor, Lord, as he's away. God, rest him up. Father, give him that he stands in need of. Touch his family, I pray, and help them. God, would you bless them? Touch them, Lord. Help this church, I pray. Bless us, Father. Give us a fresh and a new. And touch us, Father, tonight, we pray. In Jesus' sweet and precious holy name. Amen.